You have heard scripture reading. I want to read one verse that will be our center verse this afternoon.
Verse 37
of Matthew chapter 10. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I bring to you a portion of scripture that can be very contentious. For Jesus Christ speaks to the multitude. And he says to them, don't think I've come to send peace in this world. I'm not come to send peace, but a sword. It seems strange that Jesus Christ would say this. And he's saying this today too. To you and me. This word's coming directly into the church today. And Christ says, I'm not coming to send peace amongst you. A lot of people think so. And maybe you too. You think that Jesus Christ is coming to give you peace in your family, in your marriage, in your village. And maybe for so long time you have been looking for some kind of peace in your life. These people did too. When Jesus Christ came on earth, they were looking for freedom. They came to the Lord Jesus. And seeing that he was a very special man. And they wanted the Lord Jesus to solve their problem. Maybe I can give you an example. Some people would come and they would say, my wife, she's doing very silly things. She's not listening to me. Shall I leave her? What shall I do? Some women would come to the Lord Jesus. And they would say, my husband is beating me. What should I do? They thought he was going to be the answer to the problem. They would go to him. They would say, there was distribution in the village. And corn came. And blankets. But I didn't get any. And some people in the church, they took 10 bags aside. And I didn't get any. Can you do something for me? Something's not right. And they took the corn and sold it, and they have the money in their pocket. You see, there was just as many problems then. And the villagers, they were under so much pressure. There was sadness. There was pain. There was divorce, beatings, drunkenness. They hoped that this man, Jesus Christ, I hope he changes things. This is how it was. And that's how it is today. In your family. And in our village here. And in our church. And you may think
that also that Jesus Christ came to send peace in your families. But he didn't come to send peace. He came to put a sword in your family. And you know what a sword does? It kills. That's what he came to do. I need to explain this to you. But I hope you will listen to the end. Jesus Christ didn't come to give you peace in your families. But he came to kill you. You would say, this is strange. But I need to explain it to you. Because the gospel is true. Faith in Jesus Christ. But why do we need the gospel? If the gospel is life, it means that the opposite of life is death. You can't have life if you don't die. And so Jesus Christ says here, I have not come to give you peace. Some women at the well. They were fighting. That woman didn't pay for her well dues. She can't be here. She first has to pay her 500 per month. She can't be at the well. At the borehole. And there was fight. Fight about it. And then they want Jesus Christ to fix it. Jesus Christ says, I have not come to send peace, but a sword in your family. Why? Why does the Lord Jesus say here, I am come to set a man at variance against his father and a daughter against her mother? And the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is happening in the family. And I have to tell you, it's from God. You would say, that's so strange. No, because listen. The truth has to come out. And you and I are all liars. We only think about ourselves. And the Lord knew this. And the Lord comes to tell the truth. And the truth is the sword. Because maybe everything is okay today. You come home with some sima. You give it to your wife. And your wife said, where do you get this from? And you say, be quiet. And the wife says, ah, she understands. She won't say anything. Oh, you come home with money. More than your wages.
And we have to ask you,
what do you say? I work very hard and someone give me extra. Oh, no problem. The man was so nice, he gave me, instead of 2,000, he gave me
4,000.
And you say, are you sure?
You got to go for that.
You told me.
We don't got to go on anyway.
You see, there's a problem. There's a problem with us. And there's a problem in this church. And the problem is this. Your culture. And your tradition. It's Malawi's problem. Because we are married to culture. And we love culture more than we love the gospel. Yes, we will go to church. We will sing. We will pray. We can even say God is good all the time. As long as you leave my life alone. As long as during the week I can do what I want. As long as I can take a man in the home for 1,000 kwacha during the week, I'll sing all day Sunday. And as long as I can sneak to a woman's house in the night time, and pay her a 1,000 kwacha for 15 minutes. Then I will say God is good all the time, every Sunday. Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah.
Because the gospel does something new in your life. It begins to break you. It tells the truth. You see, the gospel is a gospel of love. And the gospel begins to do something to you that has never happened to you in your life. It starts to expose who you are. Why that Jesus Christ came to this earth. Why that he suffered and died. And why he had to go on the cross. The gospel says this. Because you're a rebel. The gospel said Jesus Christ did that because you won't live a life of love. Jesus Christ did that because we are haters of God. And Jesus Christ wanted to reunite sinners with God. There's only one problem. Even though Jesus Christ wants to reunite sinners with God, sinners don't want to be sinners don't want it. We want our life. We want our culture. And our tradition. We want to be able to send our wife to home to her own village. If she looks at you wrong.
Take
the kids with you.
That's who we are.
And you know why? That's our culture. When I ask you,
How can you do such thing?
You're
very proud. This is our culture. You don't touch our culture. I'll get another woman. And that's what the Lord Jesus means. That's what the Lord Jesus means. You see, because I ask, I have to ask the woman. Why do you come to church? Why do you pray? And say God is good all the time. And why do you say if we have faith, He will give us everything? And then tomorrow, you let a man in. And then you say this. Yeah, but I'm hungry. So I have to take care of my family. But you said God is good all the time. And that you have faith. That God will take care of you. And then you say, no, but my family is hungry. I have to do what I have to do. You see, this is the problem. Because you use God. And you say God is good all the time. But then when He wants to help you, you don't want His help. And remember, when you were sick, and you were worried. They said when you were not sick to have faith in God. But now it's very difficult. So you go to the herbal doctor. Or to the witch doctor. You carry some charms. As long as nobody's looking. And you come to church with your charms. And you say, God is good all the time. You see, you can trick each other. But you can't trick God. And the people were testing Him. They came with their charms. They kept their culture and their traditions. But they were curious about this man Jesus. What can this Jesus do for us? They thought, if He can do some nice things for us, we will say nice things about Him. And that's like us today. We will serve God. We'll talk about faith. We'll talk about being born again. We'll talk about loving each other. As long as it works for your faith. But as soon as it's not in your favor, you all beat your wife. Because it's not in your favor. We will come to church in big numbers. We will come, men and women. Especially when a Zungus come. Then we're all here. And if there is distribution, suddenly the church goes from 10 members to 100 members. And
mom and mother
will
make sure that when in the distribution,
and
her daughter is somewhere behind. This is who we are. And this is the truth. People won't tell the truth. Pastors are saying nice things. But churches are remaining dead. There's no life in the church. But now Jesus Christ says something. Whoever does not hate father or mother more, or sorry, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves their husband or the wife more than Jesus Christ is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more do you know what that means? Pay close attention. Of course you can say, ah, I love my wife. That's easy to say. Of course you can say, I love my husband. That's easy. Of course you can say, I love my father or my mother or anything. Of course you could say that. However, what happens? What happens in the village? What's happening amongst you? Because if you love each other truly in Christ, you would show it. And that's that sword. If you are born again, you have repented from your culture. Your culture has no more power over you. That's repentance. Repent and believe the gospel. That doesn't mean I stop sinning and believe the gospel. Like so many people say, so many preachers, I have to stop sinning and believe the gospel. My friends, listen carefully. Sin is the action or result of your culture. You see, when you see something that from your neighbor, and you look at it, and you want it, you haven't actually stolen yet. But your heart is so desirous for it, you find out how you can steal it. And once you steal it, sin happens. Stealing it is the result of desiring it. And that's the same thing. Sin is in this village. In your family. In your life. There's drunkenness. Adultery. Witchcraft. All of these things is thick in this village. It's everywhere. It's like maggots in a dead rat. It's everywhere. Why is that? It's coming from something. It's coming from something rooted in you. My friends, it's coming from your culture. When people tell you, when preachers tell you to repent,
and
you say hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah, amen.
We have to do better. We shouldn't do adultery.
Did you see it?
You think it's really working? You take people to the grave. And you stand by the grave. And you say this man was a very good man. He was a good churchgoer. He said so many times, hallelujah, amen. He took care of his wife. And people are in the back. Because it's not true. And all you have to say is sorry, it's our culture. And now I have to tell you something. Repent from your culture. And what does that mean? It means that this church, each one of you, if you will be born again, then you will repent from your culture. Repent from your tradition. You will have no more value in that. And what else? You see, and this is where families are going to split apart. And this is what the Lord Jesus means by whoever loves your family more than me is not worthy of me. Because today, you don't dare to expose each other. If you see in the village a plant, it's a plot. With some of the church members. Maybe with an organization. To be able to get something. And what you say is our word together. And you know. What do you do? Do you go there? Do you go there? Brothers, you can't do this. If you did, you would get beat. But that's what he means. That's the sword. The day you begin telling the truth, you will only do it because you're born again. But don't trick yourself. Don't think you're born again and serve the Lord when you are out doing all of these things. You know who is taking men into their home. Do you go to your daughter? You say, daughter, I need to talk to you. You cannot take a man into your home. You did last night. And I'm going to take you with the other woman. No, you don't dare. You know why? Because maybe your daughter is going to say, you did it when I was younger. You see, and our boys and our girls are in trouble. Because our young girls are being taught Sundays at church. You say hallelujah, amen. But during the week they are witnessing your actions. And how do you expect? How do you expect not to be confused? Our daughters are following your footsteps. Our daughters are following your footsteps. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm telling you. This is what the Lord Jesus means. And you can. At 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mama, nani go over, nani mama.
Do you think he's
going to
do the same thing?
Mama, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he will.
Yeah.
He will. He will follow the footsteps of his father. He looks at his father. When he looks at his, the boys look at the father. And they come home drunk. They look. And they say, oh, that's okay. I can get drunk when I'm older. Your sons are in trouble. And all you can say is God is good all the time.
Because everybody
but you are not good at it.
Yeah.
You see, the gospel is going to put a sword in your family. If you are born again, you love Jesus Christ. You have given your life up for Him so that you can help others. So that you can tell the boys. So we can tell them and show them how you treat a woman. Don't you ever beat a woman. You understand? Our culture is going on. Jesus Christ came.
Yes,
and he's seen exactly the same thing. And he was, when he heard this from the people, he seen them and he said, he knew their hearts. And the Lord Jesus says, You are acting, you're a very good actor. Just like the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. The Lord Jesus met her there.
Yes, Adam Pesam.
What did he say?
Adam was over.
Ah, everything will be okay.
Adam was about to die, but
I will give you everything.
I
will bless you. No. What did he say?
Yes, Adam was telling Kazuja.
Go get your husband.
Adam was telling Musia, he never did anyone. He didn't want to move away.
Why did she do that?
I wanted to do that.
Because she had five husbands.
If I'm married, I was already nine. That time I had six.
That's what the Lord wants to do today. And in your life, the sword. We have to die. To culture. And traditions need to die. If they are not grounded on God's word. And this is your village's problem. I could come here today. And I could give you all kinds of nice things. And you could go away today feeling good. But your soul. Your heart. Has not changed. And the Lord Jesus knows this. And the Lord Jesus says this. You won't take it up from me. You love your family more than you love me. Because if you know that your husband is doing some tricks to bring food in the house, he won't say anything. As long as the food is coming. You won't even ask him. But you know
He didn't
work
for it. What is that?
And then you see this every day in Malawi.
See what it's doing, Mr. Mugzona.
It's in your families.
Mabanjabans,
would you
give
We are in trouble. We are in deep trouble. And it's time to wake up. It's time for us to awaken from this sleep. It's time for us to hear the true gospel. And the true gospel can convict us. If you love Jesus
Christ,
if He becomes your Savior, your life changes. Why? Because He has convicted you. Because He has paid for the very sins that you are committing. Every word that is wrong, or thought, or deed, pierces your heart. And you can't see it anymore. You begin to see your children, who are just like you. And you begin to see each other. And we don't have grace. We can't forgive because we're not forgiven. Mothers, how can you forgive?
But
if
you're
not forgiven, that's what Jesus Christ came to do. And instead of forgiving, we send our wife away. But I ask you, if there is a disagreement with your wife, and you truly believe in Jesus Christ, and you are born again, can you send her away? You say, no, but that's our culture. Right, it is your culture. And your culture is condemned. When will someone go? To his wife? Who has been forgiven. And bow down. Will you forgive me for all I have done to you? No, that's not our culture. That's not our culture. When will you go to your sister? When will you go to your neighbor? And just say to her. I have taken some corn from you. While you were at the market. But you can't do that. You can ask for forgiveness. Because no one can ask for forgiveness to each other. If you haven't been forgiven. And this, my friends, is what the Lord Jesus means. The Lord Jesus says this. I promise you a gospel. I promise you forgiveness of all your sins. And I can give you life eternal. But it's going to make division in your family. Because if you become a Christian, if you become born again, your life changes. And you begin to fight against culture and traditions. And you begin to expose people in your family. As you see things, you go to your brother. And you say to your brother, where have you received that? And your brother says, oh, I have got it from a friend in Blanta. And you say, who is your friend in
Blanta?
And he says, oh, Mr. So-and-so. Can I call him?
Is that you? The master phone number immediately puts.
What, you don't believe me?
I believe you.
Why are you kidding me? You see, you begin to expose. And so much that if your husband brings food home that is stolen, you won't be able to cook it. You see, I know I'm getting coming to a point where you say, no, no. I know. But I'm not saying this. The gospel is saying this. Jesus Christ is saying this. The Lord Jesus says this. Don't fear them who can take your body. But not your soul. Because many can take your body. Even your husband can whip you to death. And the people in the village, they're going to be after you. When you expose the truth, they will try to kill you. Is that not true? If you expose the lies, people will try to kill you. None of the men in the village are going to be happy with you. When you go to the beer tent and you begin to preach to God, but the Lord says, but don't fear them. They can hurt your body. They can break you. But they can't touch your soul. But fear him who can take both body and soul and torment you forever. Because if you're not born again, if Jesus Christ is not your Savior, your body and soul will go eternally lost and will be eternally tormented. Not just your body, but also your soul. And I'm calling to you through this gospel, men and women in this village, please wake up. Wake up! A sword is going to go through your home. People may be very angry with you. And they may despise you. But I tell you now, if you don't want to, if you don't want to let go of your culture, if tradition is too special for you, then at least forsake the church. But I'm begging you, do not use God's name in vain. Do not be in these cultural practices while you're saying that God is good all the time. Do not say hallelujah, amen, while culture is so deep in your families. But I assure you, if Jesus Christ becomes your Savior today, your life changes because you repent from culture, not repenting from sin. We are sinners. And we can only sin And what makes us sin is our culture. Everything we believe in our traditions. That's the incubator for sin. My friends, if you put eggs in the incubator that are fertilized.
We put
eggs in the incubator. And then 21 days later, little chicks come. Now imagine we put eggs in the incubator. And 21 days later, we look. We say, what? Why are these chickens coming? Well, one would say, of course, that was your plan. You can say, no, I just wanted to put the eggs in the incubator, but I don't want chicks. If you have a female goat, and you put a male goat with it, would you be surprised if the female goat is pregnant? Of course not. That's the same thing with culture. Culture is the incubator. And sin piles out by so many because it's being incubated. My friends, this is the truth. And Malawi won't believe it. And I'm praying for grace. I'm praying for mercy. For you. So that you will stop trying to tame the sins in your village. But that you will go to the source. That's the gospel. The gospel goes to the heart of the source. And that is your culture and tradition. It's what you believe instead of believing in Jesus Christ. Instead of Jesus Christ being your Savior, you will say, it's our culture. But a sword will go through your family. And you will have your mother or maybe your father against you. But I'm calling out to you. I'm asking you, kids, don't follow in your footsteps. But stand against it. When you see your mother going to the cornfield to take some corn, you yell, my mother's a thief! But Jesus Christ promises to help you, to tell you the truth, and to give you peace in your soul. I hope you do that. I hope that even at night time, that you children, who don't have a father, maybe. Your father's gone. And you're sleeping. In bed. But you hear a little
knock. Yeah, una mayagwa hiyo na mayagwa hiyo baba nyumba. Mayagwa mamu na libe ukokola mansu.
Now you yell.
You are good.
Ouch!
You
don't belong here.
You don't belong here. Don't touch my mother.
Mayagwa na mpulu kufaru sa
mpulu manga. You run outside. You are going
to
run outside.
Young people, maybe it hasn't happened to you yet, but don't follow in the footsteps of your families. It's like a snake. It comes from nowhere. And it bites you. And it poisons you. And you become pregnant. And the man goes somewhere else. And you become alone with one or two or three children. They don't know who the father is. And now you have to make it a regular practice just to put food on the table
for the
children. Am I lying? Am I lying?
Am I lying?
And now the Lord Jesus says, all of you people who are coming to me and are saying, please help us. Please give us some favors. We need some food. We have cyclone. We need help. My husband's run away. The Lord Jesus says this.
Yes,
that's not why I have come. I have not come to make your to make your families a nice, livable family. But the Lord Jesus does say this. If you put your trust in Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might, I will help you. I will deliver you out of trouble. And when you tell the truth, and when you expose your mother or your father, and when you walk through the village and you tell the truth to the village, I will be there with you. I will help you. And who today has a desire, a burning desire? I hope that there's little flames flickering. I hope amongst the mothers that little flames are flickering. That you come to know Jesus Christ. That your sins may be forgiven. And that this church begins to see a revival. And that the villages around
will
say, what's happening in the church? They're changing. They're exposing our culture and our traditions. But they're being blessed. What's happening to them? They don't sing anymore, Hallelujah, Ameni. From their mind, but from their heart. And we see them mean it. It's true. What they are singing. Then Jesus Christ will come. And though there will be a sword going around in the
world,
yet there will be peace in your heart. Because Jesus Christ didn't come to send peace in your family. But He wants to give you peace in your heart. He wants to give you rest in your soul. And right now I see in your eyes. And in your faces. Your life is not so good. You have trouble. You have pain. Some of you are sick. Some of you are hurt. And some of you are sad. And some of you don't know where to turn. Some of you are so disappointed. But it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus Christ says, come to me. I will give you rest. And he's saying this. Mama, Father, every time you come to me, you're asking me for things, for sima maybe, or food. You're asking me for money, for riches, or anything. Won't you come to me and ask me for grace? I can give you peace in your soul. I can give you rest. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying. And he's inviting sinners who are burdened to come to him and to get rest. Rest for your soul. But I call to you, if you go further, if this village continues in the false gospel of a little bit of prosperity, it won't be well with your soul. And you'll go eternally lost. But Jesus Christ is calling you. He's calling you to repent. And you'll never forget. Never forget this. Repentance from your culture. And repentance from your family tradition. And you will see change in this church. Change in your family. Change in your heart. Jesus Christ will become precious to you. And he will give you what you need in your heart. And you will be able to die in peace. It doesn't matter what people say at your funeral. It matters what Jesus Christ says the moment you stand before him. Oh people, seek the Lord while he can be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do you hear his voice today? Don't harden your heart further. But believe the gospel. Amen. Amen.